The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, and did you know this is our fourth straight show together, Mina? Not bad.
I'm Mina Kimes, and that is amazing because I keep asking for someone new.
Not right, not right. Well, guess what? We won't make it five in a row tomorrow, then. Forget it. I'll talk to the producer. You're out.
Wow.
Unfortunately, if you're out, that means I'll be out as well. That's usually the way it works around here.
We're a tag team.
But it's fun. Welcome to PTI. Mike and Tony are so impressed with our work that they asked us to stay on one more day. So I'm once again joined by my great friend from NFL Live, Mina Kimes, everyone. Nice. Thursday kind of applause around here. All right, let's start with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray committing to each other. Murray agreed to a five-year deal worth a potential $230 million with $160 million in guarantees. So this ends all the drama from earlier this offseason. Mina, how confident should the Cardinals feel about the investment they're making?
I think it was the right move, Frank. I know everybody's last memory of Kyler Murray is watching him struggle in the playoffs. But if that was the floor, his ceiling is playing at an MVP level. I mean, before he got hurt last year, before DeAndre Hopkins went out, he was playing like one of the best quarterbacks in football. And despite that rocky stretch at the end of the season, still finished top five in every deep passing metric, second in completion percentage over expectation, your
there
favorite stat, which accounts for difficulty of throws. Look, I understand that this is not without risk. All you have to do is look to Philadelphia, where they gave Carson Wentz that early extension and came to regret it, or Los Angeles when Jared Goff. But you can also look up to their division rival in Seattle and see how lonely it is out there when you don't have a franchise quarterback. I don't think they had a choice. They had to get this done.
Yeah, all right. So before you roll your eyes and drop your head in disgust, I'm just going to say this. I do believe that he's a franchise quarterback. And we know out of all the sports, it's the most important position out there. And when you have a guy like that, you have to sign him. Obviously, the Cardinals believe it as well. But at least give me this. And I know there's nothing we can do about it. He is a little undersized. And I thought last year in the playoffs, and you kind of glossed over it, that performance in a lot of ways was shocking. And that interception at the end of the first half ended that game. Now, he was going up against a great defense, and it was on the road. That would be the only thing that would give me pause. But I think what it does now, it puts a lot of pressure on the Cardinals coaching staff. Because after that game, it was interesting how everything kind of spun, not so much on Kyler Murray, but on the coaching staff, the offensive. But if Kyler Murray, that was his only playoff game that he's ever appeared in, if he has some poor performances next year and a poor performance if they make the playoffs, it's not going to be on Kyler Murray. It's going to be on the coaching staff.
100%. A coaching staff or a head coach in Cliff Kingsbury that they also extended. And Frank, that move actually shocked me more because I thought Cliff Kingsbury struggled at times with game management last season, making adjustments without DeAndre Hopkins. And yet they kept him on. And to your point, he is a lot more replaceable than Kyler Murray. So there's absolutely a ton of pressure on him. I would also say there's a ton of pressure on general manager Steve Keim because he put together this team. But they also gave him an extension. So I don't know what's going on in Arizona.
Yeah. About what was he? He was 19 of 34, 137 yards, two interceptions in that game. Real quickly, how does this impact the whole situation with Lamar Jackson now in Baltimore?
Frank, just makes Lamar Jackson look smarter for
holding
out.
He's an MVP. He's accomplished more, too.
He has 100% accomplished more, including in the playoffs and during the regular season, of course, winning MVP. He's gotten a lot of flack for not having an agent and getting a deal done.
Yeah.
With every new contract, his price tag goes up, and good for Lamar Jackson for waiting it out.
All right, we have another topic right in your wheelhouse. Let's move to the Cleveland Browns' lack of interest in Jimmy Garoppolo. Mary Kay Calvert of the Cleveland.com reports that the team is not expected to pursue a trade for Jimmy G, despite the looming suspension of starting quarterback Deshaun Watson following at least two dozen accusations of sexual misconduct from massage therapists. The Browns will reportedly work out Josh Rosen and A.J. McCarron as potential backups to Jacoby Brissett. Mina, will the Browns be making a mistake if they don't pursue Garoppolo?
So I think it depends on what pursue means.
Yeah.
Because, look, from a football sense, purely football sense, rather, Frank, Jimmy Garoppolo makes a ton of sense to the Browns. Assuming Deshaun Watson is out for an extended period of time, he is undoubtedly an upgrade over the quarterbacks you mentioned, the quarterbacks that I could not help but make a face in response to hearing some of those names. He's also a really good fit for Kevin Stefanski's wide zone play-action-centric offense. He's a great locker room guy. Makes a ton of sense. What doesn't make sense, though, would be for Cleveland to take on his $24 to $25 million in salary because they'd be bidding against themselves. The only other team out there that maybe that does need a quarterback is Seattle. Don't think San Francisco is going to do a trade with them. And everybody knows the Niners have to get that contract off their books. So if you're Cleveland and you want him and you're waiting for the suspension, all you got to do is starve San Francisco out and then get him for a much, much cheaper price.
All right, let me repeat. Before you roll your eyes and drop your head in disgust, let me say this. For a guy that's been to two conference title games and a Super Bowl, he gets a little disrespected, a little too much. You know, he's won 70% of the games, or I should say, let me repeat. The team has won 70% of the games that he started, which means something. But you happen to be right here. When you invest this much into Deshaun Watson, and who knows how many games he's going to be out for? Is it going to be the whole season? Is it going to be eight? Is it going to be six? You can't go out and trade draft picks for a guy that you might only get for half the season. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo and his agent, they clearly know what the next move is going to be. If he's going to get traded, if his contract's going to get bought out, and where he's going to end up. And I have a funny feeling he could end up in your old neck of the woods, the Pacific Northwest, on the Seattle Seahawks.
And that is, of course, the one risk for Cleveland. If they do wait out San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo will have his choice of teams.
That's right.
And maybe he would rather play with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett rather than being Deshaun Watson's ultimate backup. All right, let's move to the NBA, where James Harden and the Sixers have a new deal. Harden has reportedly agreed to a contract that will pay him $33 million a season and gives him a player option of nearly $36 million next season. He had previously declined a $47 million player option for this coming season, Frank. How should the Sixers feel about their new deal with James Harden?
Well, they should be happy. But before we nominate James Harden for the Nobel Prize for humanitarian work for taking less money, and listen, he did help them out because they were able to get P.J. Tucker from Miami. So not only are they hurting Miami, they're helping themselves. But if you go, this is all about James Harden. And I know they wanted to upgrade their depth, but it's a superstar-driven league. And the superstar last year in Game 6 against Miami, he scored 11 points. He made four field goals, and he didn't go to the free throw line. So the questions about James Harden are going to follow him all through next season. Has he lost a step? Does he get that separation? Can he still be a superstar player? Now, he's going to be motivated, Mina, because if he has a good year, you know there's a wink-wink deal. Next July, he's going to opt out of that contract, and then he'll sign the massive deal. But the way that he played last year, that first run that he had in Brooklyn, MVP candidate, hurt his hamstring, hasn't been the same player since.
I share your concern, which is why I do think this was a good deal for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Really, the only risk with it would be if he came back and was so awesome that they were regretted not getting him for a longer deal at a lower price. But given the way he was trending last season, you talked about his performance in the playoffs, worst three-point shooting percentage of his career, struggled very obviously to get to the rim. I don't think that's likely to happen. So to me, this feels like they walked a very fine line. They need him in the short term to remain contenders as much as he struggled. But this keeps them from making a huge mistake in the long term, which I think is what would happen if they potentially signed him to a longer deal.
Yeah, and I think, number one, they got better. But don't you find it interesting? Ben Simmons' last game for Philadelphia, he has a terrible game. It's against Atlanta in a game seven, and he's out of town. James Harden had a shocking game against Miami. Mm-hmm. 11 points. He doesn't go to the free throw line. Didn't even want to shoot the ball in the second half. What does he get? An extension, and everyone is thanking him. Thanks for taking less money. Now we're able to sign more players. It's interesting how the narrative is for both players right there.
That's a really good point. All right, the second half of the every now and then you get one right.
Thank
second
you.
Half of the baseball season officially began this afternoon with a doubleheader between the teams with the two best records in the American League. The Astros beat the Yankees 3-2 on a walk-off infield single in the bottom of the ninth. The Yankees still have the better overall record, Frank, but the Astros have now won four of the six between the two teams this season. So, if Houston sweeps today's doubleheader, is it a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
So you want me to tell you that games in July in Major League Baseball are a big deal? I'm going to tell you this, because right now the Yankees are 8-8 in their last 16 games, and they got off to a great start. This one, they came from behind. They tied the game in the top of the ninth, and their bullpen fell apart. And that's been the strength of this team. Now, Garrett Cole has been terrific. He's 9-2, but everyone remembers what Garrett Cole did last year in that, you know, the wild card game against the Boston Red Sox. It's all about the bullpen. Clay Holmes was an all-star, did not pitch today, because as you know, Mina, when the Yankees were going to the World Series and winning all those World Series, it was Mariano Rivera always getting those last three outs. It's the biggest three outs in baseball. I'm still not confident. The Yankees aren't going to outslug everybody. That's what they think. It's still going to come down to starting pitching and bullpen. The bullpen let them down in the ninth inning today.
And as good as the Yankees' bullpen has been, the Astros' bullpen has been better. That is one of the areas where they are better than them. And I think one of the reasons why, even with that lead, the Yankees should be frightened of Houston. Look, it seems more likely than not that both of these teams will get the byes in the extended playoffs, you know, the top two seeds. But home field matters. You can go back to 2017 when these teams played, and of course, the tainted now championship series, and every team won their home game. And of course, it culminated with Game 7 in Houston. So even with these massive, massive leads over their divisions, both teams are eyeing each other, and Houston picking up a couple is not good for New York.
Yeah. Don't you love the fact, though? I mean, we talk about how strong the baseball players' union is. The All-Star game was Tuesday night. Here you are on Thursday, and they're playing a 1 o'clock doubleheader. I guess the lockout had a little bit to do with that, but that's a quick turnaround. The NBA gets a week off, Mina, for crying out loud. Not these guys. All right, let's take a break. But coming up were the comments that Warriors owner Joe Lacob made about the luxury tax deserving of $500,000 fine. Wow.
And Georgia players said fans started asking them whether they could repeat the night they won the title. What's the word for that?
Don't you love how it's, you know, July and all we're talking is NFL?
Right
up your alley.
Let's go.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida mas fina.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona Extra, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to choose our words carefully, and what's the word? Get your engine started, Mina. What's first?
Warriors owner Joe Lacob was blank to complain about the NBA's luxury tax system.
All right, he was calculated by doing this. And for the backstory here, he was on a podcast, the Point Forward podcast, Andre Iguodala, Evan Turner. That's part of the new media, by the way, Mina. And what he did, the league fined him $500,000 for what they said was publicly discussing the league's collective bargaining talks. And really what he was doing was complaining about the fact that their payroll and luxury tax bill exceeded $340 million. And what he's saying, he wants the league to know, this is a team that a lot of people love. We're trying to win, but just to keep this team together, it keeps costing us more and more money. It happened to Milwaukee last year, and it's happening to the Golden State Warriors.
So I'm going with defensive, because on the surface, his complaint is about paying the tax. Imagine no owner loves doing that. But really, it was about paying grown team. And if you read between the lines, he is trying to remind people yet again that the Warriors are not a checkbook team.
That's right.
His words. And it seems to me that even after so many years later, after the whole Durant thing, they are still defensive about that super team accusation. Durant is too, when I say they.
Yeah.
It did make me laugh, though, Frank, when he said at one point during this defense, our top eight players were all drafted. Somewhere Andrew Wiggins is like,
You caught that.
I'm not your top eight.
Good for you. Exactly right. He said our top eight players are who we drafted. By the way, Andre Iguodala last night at the ESPY Awards apologized to Joe Lacob for putting him in a position to get fined $500,000. Wow, that's why the new media is going to be costly. All right, what's next?
It's blank that Georgia fans started talking about a repeat the night Georgia won the national championship.
Oh, come on. This is easy. It's on the money because college football fans are unrealistic. College football, in a sense, is so unrealistic that Kirby Smart just got a 10-year contract worth $112 million. So, yes, you play in the SEC. You know, you can recruit at Georgia. You just beat Alabama, for crying out loud. Now, granted, they did go 41 years between national championship games. But, yes, it's on the money. This is what college football fans expect. And when you're going to pay Kirby Smart that kind of money, get us back in the big game.
Isn't it incredible to go that long without a championship and then immediately want the next one? Some might call that greedy. The word I chose was reasonable. Because while I still think Alabama is the favorite to win next year, I think Georgia's got a real shot. Yes, they lost an entire all-star team on defense to the NFL draft, like the Monstars. But when I was watching Georgia tape, my eyes kept going to players who are still on the team. Defensive lineman Jalen Carter might be the best player, and he wasn't drafted. Nolan Smith, incredible linebacker, still there. Brock Bowers, their star tight end, returns. They should contend, and Georgia fans are right to expect them to do so.
And here's the other thing, too, about the SEC. You can be a one-loss SEC team and get into the Final Four. So that kind of gives you a little path there, you know, to, you know, you could lose the one game. Other Cincinnati had lost a game. They're not making it to the college football playoffs. By the way, one thing about Georgia with money, they pay their coaches a lot. The women's soccer coach, I heard, makes about $200,000. And the guy left USC to go to Georgia. That's the kind of money, but not Kirby Smart money. A little bit different. That's kind of like Mina Kimes money, as they say in the business. All right, that's the last word. Let's take one last break. But still to come is Charles Barkley getting closer to joining the Saudi tour.
And his new Bucks tight end, Kyle Rudolph, a replacement for Gronk or a placeholder for Gronk?
That was a nice flex there with naming some of those Georgia players. Well done. I was going to name them, but I didn't want to steal your thunder. So good job by you.
I'm sure. Of course.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Part of Happy Hour.
It's happy time. Happy 23rd birthday. Evan McPherson, the Cincinnati Bengals' cool and confident kicker, had 5 game-winning field goals last season, including a 52-yarder against the Titans in the divisional round. Just prior to the kick, McPherson turned to backup quarterback Brandon Allen and said, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship game. 1 week later, McPherson, a fifth-round pick out of Florida, sent the Bengals to the Super Bowl by nailing a 31-yarder in overtime against the Chiefs. Unfortunately for McPherson, his most memorable moment at the Super Bowl was going viral for staying on the field during the halftime show instead of being in the locker room. Ah, rookie mistake. That shouldn't overshadow the fact that McPherson was 14 for 14 on field goal tries in the playoffs, tying Adam Vinatieri's record for most postseason field goals made without any misses.
I reject, first of all, the premise that he did anything wrong by stopping to watch that incredible halftime show, right? Like, let he who has not dropped everything to watch Mary J. Blige cast the first stone. It was incredible. And what he did before, as he reenacted, was even more incredible for a 22-year-old to have the stones to say that to me. Frank, that is crazier than even throwing a touchdown.
And by the way, kickers stay out on the field during halftime to kick. It just so happened there was a halftime show going on. A not-so-happy anniversary, J.J. Watt. On this day, 6 years ago, Watt underwent back surgery for a herniated disc. Prior to that 2016 offseason surgery, Watt was a model of durability, not missing a single game and winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year award three times. Since the surgery, Watt's played in only 55 of 97 regular season games. Last season, his first in Arizona, Watt had just one sack in seven games. Not only that, he's not even the best Watt in the NFL anymore. That honor goes to his younger brother, TJ, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year. All right, Mina, does J.J. Watt have anything left?
Well, he certainly did last year. He may have had only one sack, but he was extremely disruptive. And Frank, when he went out with an injury, the Cardinals' defense went from second best in the NFL in terms of expected points added to 23rd. Now, they don't have Chandler Jones. I know advanced stats, you love him. And the best pass rusher outside of J.J. Watt is Marcus Golden, so they're going to need him to be very good this season if they want to compete.
It's a shame. He's a terrific player, but injuries have been a major issue. All right, happy trails to the Flames. Matthew Tkachuk, The Athletic, was the first to report that Calgary is expected to trade its star winger after he told the team he wouldn't sign a long-term contract extension. Tkachuk is just 24 and put up 42 goals and 62 assists this past season. There's been speculation throughout his career that he'd like to play in St. Louis, where he grew up. Of course, his father, Keith, played for the Blues. Losing Tkachuk would be the second huge blow to the Flames after Johnny Gaudreau, who's from South Jersey, by the way, scored 115 points with the team last season, but joined Columbus as a free agent earlier this month.
If you're going to keep choosing stories like this, we're going to have to change the name of the segment to, like, the miseries, because, oh my goodness, what a negative group. And this is, of course, a miserable story for Flames fans. Frank, it feels like only yesterday we were talking about this exciting young team, nice balance, you know, of experience and youth, and suddenly it appears to be all blowing up. Hopefully, they can get a nice return for Tkachuk so they can stay competitive.
Yeah, Johnny Gaudreau, by the way, Salem, New Jersey, same hometown, Jonathan Taylor of the Colts. Feel free to use that on NFL Live, all right? That's coming directly from me. All right, no errors today. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Tampa Bay has signed Kyle Rudolph at tight end. Does that make sense?
Makes sense for depth, but he's still going to be, you know, a secondary option. They've got such a good group of wide receivers. They don't really need another tight end. Charles Barkley tells the New York Post that he dined with Greg Norman last night and will play in the Saudi Tour Pro-Am next week. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good job by Andrew Marchand on this story. I'll tell you what, it sounds more and more like this might happen with Charles Barkley. I think the biggest question is going to be, is he going to leave TNT? Everyone tunes in Thursday night to listen to Charles Barkley. Obviously, the LIV tournament knows that. That's why they want him there. I kind of hope he doesn't do it. He's a basketball guy, not a golf guy. Give me a break. Venus Williams will play singles next month for the first time in nearly a year. Is that a big deal?
It's a huge deal for Venus fans, tennis fans, the star power she brings returning. And that star power is going to be double, by the way, when she plays in Toronto alongside her sister, Serena. Frank, Venus made her WTA debut in Toronto at the age of 21. Now she's 42. What an amazing milestone for her. All right, Miami is retiring the turnover chain.
Oh,
what? Will you miss it?
You know what I miss? I miss the Miami Hurricanes of the 80s, Michael Irvin, Jerome Brown, when they used to win all the time. But everyone still talks about Miami like it's that team. That's gone. Last one, you won't be here tomorrow. Will the Mariners make it 15 in a row tomorrow night?
I'm not going to talk about it.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mina Kimes. You can get the BTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
By the way, one last shout out. I want to thank the MLS and DC United last night. We watched Bayern Munich. Everyone kept saying, where's Mina Kimes? Where is she? And I said, she doesn't return my text message, so I don't know. Great job.
BTI.